Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, this is going to be an open mic day, so if you'd like to call in and chat with me at any time during the hour where I can light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, feel free to do so. The telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or toll free, 888-268-4313. That's 888-268-4313. Either one of those telephone numbers are open now if you'd like to call again. We don't have any guests, but I will be letting you know what guests will be coming up this week and next, because we've got a wonderful lineup of people. But as I say, this is an hour of Mind Power, and there's so many wonderful things I'd like to share with you today. Of course, Mother's Day is coming up, and I thought I'd share a little bit of history regarding Mother's Day. I had no idea that there basically has been a celebration for Mother's Day going back for centuries. And I knew that there was something around the 1600s, but I didn't realize that the earliest Mother's Day celebration was traced back to the spring celebrations of ancient Greece, and it was in honor of Rhea, who was the mother of the gods. Now, of course, during the 1600s, the English celebrated a day called Mothering Sunday, and when that was celebrated was on the fourth Sunday of Lent, and that was to honor all the mothers of England. Now, it was during this time that many of England's poor worked as servants for the wealthy, and most jobs were located far from their homes, and servants would live at the houses of their employers. And on Mothering Sunday, the servants would have the day off and were encouraged to return home and spend the day with their mothers. And there was a traditional cake called a mothering cake that was often made up and provided to give a real special festive touch. You have to remember, at that time, sugar wasn't something that was easy to get, and it was really quite a special event. We take all kinds of goodies for granted today, but they weren't so conveniently available. So when people had their holidays or celebrations, it really was a big deal when you made a cake. Now, Christianity, as it spread through, you know, throughout Europe, the celebration changed to honor the Mother Church, and over time, the church festival blended with Mothering Sunday celebrations, and people began to have holidays with the Mothering Day with the church. Now, in the United States, Mother's Day was first suggested in 1872 by Julia Ward Howe, and she's the woman who wrote the words to the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She wanted a day dedicated to peace, and Ms. Howe would hold organized Mother's Day meetings in Boston, Massachusetts every year. Well, in 1907, Anna Jarvis from Philadelphia began a campaign to establish a national Mother's Day. Ms. Jarvis persuaded her mother's church in Grafton, West Virginia, to celebrate Mother's Day on the second anniversary of her mother's death, and that was the second Sunday of May. And by the next year, Mother's Day was also celebrated in Philadelphia. Well, Ms. Jarvis and her supporters began to write to ministers, businessmen, and politicians because they wanted to really establish a national Mother's Day, as we celebrate our Mother's Day every year now. And it was successful, as by 1911, Mother's Day was celebrated in almost every state, and President Woodrow Wilson, in 1914, made the official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day as a national holiday that was to be held each year on the second Sunday of May. And many different countries in the world celebrate their own Mother's Day at different times throughout the year, and some countries like Denmark, Finland, Italy, Turkey, Australia, and Belgium also celebrate Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May. So that's just a little bit of historical trivia for you. And speaking of moms, because that is obviously what we're going to be celebrating this coming Sunday, so many people are going to be taking out their moms. In fact, it's one of the biggest days of the year for the restaurant business. They're just booming with all kinds of families coming out and wanting to let mom know how much they care and take her out so she doesn't have to do anything in the kitchen. This is her day. Well, I had this wonderful story that I thought I would share with you, and it touches my heart in a very special way. I know of a number of families that have adopted children and children from other countries. And this one especially meant a lot to me because I know of two particular families at this time that have adopted children from Asia. And this is about a 13-year-old girl. Her name is Amy. And Amy had, as a 13-year-old, she was being challenged by so many of her own thoughts and so many of her own questions, and she was trying to figure out her own identity because she was adopted. And she had been adopted from an orphanage in South Korea. And she had no information or any kind of memories about her birth mother. Now, she really loved her adoptive parents, and they had never hidden from her the fact that she had been adopted from an orphanage in South Korea. And she began, because of all these questions inside of her, she began to speak out loud, asking questions about what her real mother might be like. Well, as it turned out, something happened in Amy's life, and it was all due to a dentist. And the dentist found that after an examination that Amy was going to need some braces. Now, she finally had to go in and have her braces fitted, and she went home with a lot of pain. And when the day wore on, she became more and more uncomfortable as the Novocaine wore off. By bedtime, she was totally miserable. Her mother gave her some medication that the doctor had given her and then invited her just to come up into her lap in a rocking chair, even though she was 13 years old. She said, "Why don't you just come along and just snuggle with me in my lap, just like you did when you were a little girl?" And Amy did that. She was so uncomfortable. Well, it was a pretty good-sized rocker, and Mom was rocking away and just gently, gently stroking Amy's head. And Amy began to relax, and the pain just sort of went away a little bit. She's still uncomfortable, but she managed to relax enough where she was almost asleep when she said to her mother in a very drowsy voice, "I know who my real mom is." And her mother quietly responded with a question, "You do?" She said, "Yes, she's the one who takes away the hurting." You know, so often we have so many questions about our own identity, and I think when a child is adopted, there's many times those questions that come up, and you wonder, where do I come from? Who am I? Could somebody in my family have caused me to have my green eyes and red hair or whatever you might have a question about? But the real moms are those that want to make sure that the youngster in their life is comforted and taken care of. And a mother is a mother is a mother. And many times people, I think, figure that motherhood has to be something that if you really only can know it if you've had your own child, and that's not true. I've known many foster mothers. I've known many women who have worked with children in so many different capacities, and their love has just been as true as any natural mother's love for her own child could be. And so I share that story with you because I want to acknowledge so many of those mothers that are out there that have opened up their homes and their hearts to children that otherwise wouldn't have had those homes or those hearts of love that give them what they have. So to all of you moms out there, just know, no matter how you're fulfilling your role as a mother, whether it's being a good listener, whether it's adopting a child, being a foster mother, maybe being a counselor, no matter how you do it, you're making a difference. And don't ever forget that. You play a very significant role in life. But that's just a very special mom story that I wanted to share with you this morning. Also, I'm going to be sharing a story with you about a special recipe that united a family that was very, very important. And then also I want to remind you, this is an open mic day. So if you'd like to call in and chat with me, let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. All you need to do is call one of these two numbers, 877-876-5227. Now, by the way, that's an international number. No matter where you are, this is a toll-free number, 877-876-5227. We also have another toll-free number, 888 268-4313. So those phone lines are open if you'd like to chat with me. How about a sprinkling of astrology? Yes, this is just a little bit. I never proclaim to be an expert on astrology, but I think it's always fun to just share little tidbits of information. Are you a fire sign? Well, if you don't know what a fire sign is, that means you're born under the sign of Aries, Leo, or Sagittarius. Well, those born under those fire signs, you're extroverted, optimistic, and oh, you're so full of life. And you need to be busy, or you get bored. You're also great cheerleaders for your friends and family. And so it's very important that you know that people like being around you because you've got all of this wonderful energy. Now, if you want to be more successful, if you're born under one of those signs, remember that not everybody else is as exuberant or as enthusiastic as you are. And you need to be patient with other people because sometimes they don't have your high energy level. Now, what if you're born under an air sign? Gemini, Libra, or Aquarius? Well, you are an idea person. You are known for charming personality, being clever, and also very curious. And you love to learn new things and flex your mental muscles. You're so curious about other people, cultures. You enjoy communicating with others. And that gives you an uncanny ability to make other people see perspectives that maybe they would not have otherwise considered. Now, if you want to be even more successful, why don't you slow down a little bit? Sometimes you get so busy being busy, you just don't know how to relax and to smell the roses. Also, I think it's important to be a good listener. And what if you were born under an earth sign? Earth signs are Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. Whoa, you are steady as a rock. Yes, loyal, practical, and dependable. You're the person everybody relies on to get the job done right. And you have a tremendous amount of patience, believe it or not. You take your time to make sure everything you do is perfect because you're so dedicated. Earth signs make devoted spouses and lifelong friends. Now, if you want to be even more successful, change your routine a little bit. Earth signs can be so comfortable with your life and with their life and with their routines that they sometimes get stuck in a rut. Well, now what if you're a water sign? Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces, intuition is a very strong part of you. You're nurturing, empathetic, and sensitive, and you're always ready to listen to people's problems or provide them big hugs for if they really need it, loved ones or friends. And water signs are also extremely tuned into the world around them and can even be psychic. Well, I believe everybody has a touch of that psychic ability. If you want to be even more successful, remember to let go and laugh at yourself once in a while because emotional water signs, you know, you can get sort of moody at times. Earth and water signs are very, very compatible with each other, as are fire and air signs. And all I can say is, no matter what your sign is, just know that you're a special person. And we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. When we come back from the break, got some little bit of scientific trivia for you. Also, got some more stories to share. And where did business cards come from? Well, we'll find out about that, too. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in a while. Don't forget our toll-free number is 877-876-5227 if you'd like to chat. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, Donna Sebo here. This is an hour of mind power, and I invite you, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, at 877-876-5227 or 888-268-4313. And I'd be delighted to give you some intuitive readings. All you need to do is call in at 877-876-5227. Give me your first name or your initial, and I'll be glad to give you a mental impression. And then after that, you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you would like to ask about. And remember, there's no such thing as a dumb question. I wanted to bring up a thought regarding intuitive ability. And this is something I share with you because there's a man I have a great deal of admiration for. And I don't think he would have ever have called himself a psychic. His name is Napoleon Hill. And this man I have a very, very deep regard for because he spent over 20 years trying to do research on what makes people successful. And there were so many things that he went through. And one of his experiences was chatting with a man who is very, very well known as a business advisor. But he had a rather unique way of doing his advice for business people. And it was in a manner that one would never have expected. And this was many, many years ago. And what he would do, he would take requests from businesses. And he went into a room that he had specially designed. It was not a big room. It was about, the size of a closet, I would imagine, a roomy closet. And in front of him, there was a switch that was on a post. And he had a desk that was very simple in design. And on that desk, he had a pen, and he also had papers, blank papers. The room was soundproof, so he could hear nothing, and nothing would disturb him, obviously. And he had a chair in the room. He would sit down at the desk in the chair and would put the papers and pen in front of him. And the switch he would turn off after he had written down on the first piece of paper the problem or challenge that needed to be resolved. And he would then turn the light off in this small cubicle and would stay there, and he would write. And he would write, and he would write, and he would write. Sometimes it would only take him, 15 minutes to a half hour. Other times he might be in there for hours. When he was finished, he would turn on the light, and then he would read what he had written. Now, the amazing thing about this, it probably would have been called automatic writing in our own modern terminology. But he said he never knew where the information came from. He didn't make much ado about it, but companies sent him questions from all over the world. And he would do this, and he would get answers and resolutions that he said his own conscious mind would never have been able to resolve. Now, this man had developed a particular discipline. And when Napoleon Hill talked with him, the man said to him, so many, many years ago, that this was a part of consciousness that had a problem-solving capability. And I think many times it's very difficult for any one of us to be able to exercise the discipline that this particular gentleman did. Now, Napoleon Hill did not mention the man's name, as I can recall it, but the story is in the book Think and Grow Rich, and it's also in the book Laws of Success, which I think is one of the best things you can ever have in a library. I think that Napoleon Hill was the great-great-great-grandfather of all motivational speakers today that we hear of, because he did so much research, and it was so bare-bones, basic, and real that the principles apply just as strongly today as they did at the time that he put this material together. The power of the mind is extremely fascinating, and whether you're a person that wants to explore your own psychic abilities or you're curious about how the mind can work, it's so wonderful that in today's world you can go just so many places, whether it's a bookstore, whether you're listening to a program like mine, or you're interacting with other people of different talents. Remember always, there is no limitation to the power of the mind or what you're capable of understanding or learning. And there is never, ever the best or the only way to do something. There are so many different applications of intuitive capacity, it's absolutely mind-boggling. And it's something when you're willing to explore your own potential, your own abilities, It is just absolutely great. Of course, I enjoy sharing my talents with those of you that listen to the show. And it's a wonderful thing that I feel enables me to show you there's no games, there's no gimmicks. So again, if you want to give me a call, 877-876-5227. And you know, in my experience, and I've been doing a lot of counseling for a lot of years, I don't find that there is a person that I've met that has not had a synchronistic experience, a psychic experience, whatever term you're comfortable with, intuitive, coincidental. These situations happen, and I think we have a rhythm in life that evolves, and sometimes we don't always understand it, but it's there, and it works. And when it does work, you know that it's working. So again, if you want to give me a buzz today, do so. It's an open mic hour, 877-876-5227 or 888-268-4313. Oh, the flowers are out and it's just gorgeous up here in the Pacific Northwest, which is where my program is originating from. And if you and wherever you are in the part of the world that you're living in are experiencing the joy of driving down the street, seeing gardens just coming alive with their color, it's so joyful after a gloomy, dark winter. And it's so pleasurable to see how many people have lovingly tended their gardens and now they're just coming alive. Now, here are a couple of tips for gardening to make your yard work a little bit less. Remember to water your lawns once a week. And they say, believe it or not, the grass will develop stronger, thicker roots than if you sprinkle them every evening. Now, there is a gardening pro, Marie Iannotti, and she makes this suggestion also. She said, be sure to leave your clippings after you cut your grass, unless your grass clippings are really, really tall. The leftovers are going to add nutrients to your soil. And if you really want to keep pests like aphids, etc., out of your garden, be sure you get some ladybugs. They're natural, chemical-free, and they're just so pretty. It's a great way to keep a lot of unwanted bugs and worms under control because they like to feed on those little critters. And I know many times in California, when I lived in California, we'd go down to our hardware stores and we could get, my goodness, tubs of ladybugs. And you could just let them loose or let them out like at night or keep the container out there. And they'll just go all over the roses because roses, aphids, just think that they're the most delicious things in the world. So those are just a couple of yard tips if you would just like to make note of them. But this is the time of the year to get outside. And boy, I know up here in the Northwest, as soon as the sun comes out, everybody just disappears into their yards. And, of course, all the hardware stores and the different facilities where you can buy gardening supplies. And you're out there just digging and putting stuff out. Don't forget some of our wild creatures. And because you can have a lot of entertainment. I know we have squirrels and raccoons and all kinds of different critters that are in our yards. And so just remember there's some fun things that you can do, some projects that you can do that can involve the kids that will enable you to watch all the antics of these different creatures in your yards and just have a wonderful, wonderful time. So whether you're putting out nuts or you're putting out seeds in your bird feeder, whatever you're doing, just take time to enjoy some of these wonderful, wonderful, again, critters that share our yards and share our lives. That's great. Speaking of animals, there are some suggestions I'd like to give you. If you have pets, if you have dogs and also cats, here are some things that you might want to do with them. Do you have old towels around your house? And you look at them and you say, gee whiz, I guess I'll save them for rags. Well, why not use some of those towels for making rag bones for your dogs? Dogs love to play tug games. I mean, I know my Scotties always love to do that. And I did not know something. I did not know that if you're going to make a tuggy out of towels, that you can use a glue, a permanent glue. And there's one called Fabri-Tac by Beacon Adhesives. And once it's thoroughly dry, it's okay. Pets can, when they chew on the towel, it's not going to cause it to become toxic for them. But you don't want to give it to them when the material is still wet with it. You want to make sure it's thoroughly dry. And you can take old jeans, you can take old towels, and what you want to do, if you've got jeans, Maybe your kids have outgrown them and they're just really ragged, and you're just saying, well, I guess I should just throw these away. Why not? And you may want to do this just for an animal shelter, too, if you have some old clothes like this, old towels or old jeans. And just cut the legs off the jeans and tie a very firm knot at each end. And you want to just maybe twist the material and make a big fat knot at the end. And if you want to really glue it so that knot will stay, then use that Fabri-Tac glue. And then you want to not only tie a firm knot, and sometimes it's good to have a guy really tie those knots because you guys have real strong muscles and you can get that knot a lot tighter, I know, than I can. And so if you do that, trim the fabric and flush with knots. And if you want to use towels, then cut your hems off of 3 dish towels, and all you have to do is braid them snugly and then use strips cut from one of the towels to tie the braid together tightly at each end. And just make sure, again, that's really, really tight, and have someone that's got a lot of muscle to do that. And it will make a wonderful toy, and you can toss them in the machine, but you won't care if they get scrungy and dirty or whatever, because then you can toss them. But it'll be a wonderful toy for your pet. And then for cats, well, you can do a lot with cats. You can take all kinds of different items, and a catnip sock is one of the ones that would be the most favorite for them. Just fill the sock with some catnip and stuffing, and you can glue the top closed if you want. Remembering, again, you can use this type of glue, and it will not hurt the cat. And just leave it alone. They love catnip, and they'll toss it, and they'll play with it. They'll just have the time of their life with it. Cats just absolutely love it. And if you want, you can make it up pretty. You can put something on it, a pretty bow or whatever. But you know what? The animals really don't care about the bows. I think those are things that we put on because they look cute. Just remember, you want to make it practical, something that is just going to be a tossable if you want to get through playing with it. But they have all kinds of catnip substances, and cats just absolutely love that. So those are just a couple of tips for play toys for cats, if that's something that you would like to do. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in a few minutes. Remember, telephone lines are open, and be sure you tell your friends about the show. You're going to find more shows archived. I've gotten some calls from people saying, Donna, we'd like to know when your other shows are going to be going up. Well, the people at BBS Radio will be uploading those archives as soon as they can, and you just have to check on the website, go in and check where it says the Donna Sebo Show. A window will pop up there on that website page, and you'll see where you can tap in on the archives. We have 2 shows archived right now, and others will be forthcoming, so be able to listen to them at your leisure whenever you like. Meanwhile, you can give me a call at 877-876-5227. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. If you'd like, give me a call, 877-876-5227 or 888-268-4313. A little bit, a touch of science this afternoon that I wanted to share with you. Damier Chrysler embeds fiber from the Abaca banana plant into plastic covers for spare tire wells. And what's happening, they're finding that this natural material is yielding up to 60% in energy savings over glass fibers. Now, this is something that we need to remember. Lots of times when we're going about our daily business, we are concerned about how we can, one, protect the environment, what we can do to be able to make our world a safer, less toxic environment than what we have evolved into over so many years. Well, what there is in this situation is an opportunity for innovation and development. And when you look at these various conditions that we bring more and more into the forefront, somebody somewhere is going to say, I have a better way of doing things. I have a better idea. And all of this is so very, very significant. And more than that, it is so important for us to understand that necessity is the mother of invention. I'm sure you've heard that quote many, many times. Well, that is what is going to be bringing forth innovation. And you'll hear me many times during the program talking about how important it is to encourage our young people in math and science in being curious and questioning. I think as adults, it's so important for us to bring that to the forefront, because when we do that, then we're going to be able to make a difference in people's lives. And that is so very, very important. Now, a couple of other points of information that I wanted to share with you is that satellite images have located a 1,000-year-old Mayan ruin. And the limestone from the buildings that they've discovered, the remains in the soil, it affects the growth of foliage, and they're able to find it because this all is visible from space. This technology that has evolved, oh my goodness, over a very, very long process of time, it's just amazing with its refinement, and they're finding so much on this planet that they didn't know existed. And so, yes, there are many times concerns about the way technology goes, but I think part of those concerns are also going to be balanced with an understanding that what enables us to progress and to advance is to continue to ask questions, continue to say, how can we improve things? And, you know, in Canada, they found a 375-million-year-old fossil fish. Yes, it was found in the Nunavut territory, and it has fins resembling primitive limbs, an apparent transitional stage in life's evolution onto land. Fascinating stuff. Life has got so many wonderful curiosities, and we're never, ever going to know it all. And that's the wonder of life and of experience. And I think it is so very, very significant to be aware that we have things that we can work with, that we have options that we can work with. And it comes about if someone says, I wonder if, or I wonder how, or I wonder where, or what if. All of these questions, they are a part of life, and it enables us to deal with change and also to be excited about what's evolving. You know, when you think of technology, when you think of flight 100 years ago, I mean, nobody, the science fiction writers envisioned it, and what was considered science fiction now is everyday reality, and here we're going through more of an evolution with science fiction, and it's absolutely absolutely amazing. When I think of the writings that Arthur C. Clarke has done, he's one of the most renowned science fiction writers in the world. This man was writing about robots and all kinds of things so many years ago, and here we are working with them today. They are not only being used in operating rooms, but they're going to be used in so many other venues that we maybe thought in cartoons like the Jetsons, oh, isn't that cute, isn't that funny? But they're actually going to become a part of life. So there's so much that goes on. Remember, don't be afraid of change. Be willing to explore it. If something is not working out well, then we need to speak up about it and look for different options. But so many times people just want to close the door. They want to enter into what I feel is very much like the Dark Ages. They say, well, if this is bad, everything with it is bad, and we're just going to get rid of it. No, that's not the way you should do it. My personal bias, of course. Remember, there's always something that can be done differently. And it's only when you have curiosity, only when you're able to open up your mind, only when you're willing to break up paradigms, that you're going to find out perhaps about some solutions. Is it always going to work perfectly? Heavens no. Nothing ever goes in a straight line, typically. And I just think that there's so many ways of dealing with things. And one of those situations that can be dealt with more effectively are problems. And problems, trouble can always be, well, always be handled a lot better when we're able to share it with people. And let me give you a case in point. There was a gentleman by the name of Ronald, and he was involved in an international work-study program, and he hadn't made too many friends while he was doing this. And being in a new country, this was not a lot of fun for him. He was feeling very uncomfortable. Well, I think we all would at one level or another if we're in an unknown environment and we're having to deal with those challenges. Well, during this 1 week of this international work-study program, there was a fire that damaged the dormitory where he was living, And then he had another unfortunate situation with a motorcycle accident, and it had to send him to the hospital. He had some pretty serious injuries. Now, the doctors expected him to make a full recovery, but Ronald got stuck in fear. He thought his accident was a sign to quit his studies abroad and to return home. He just had this attitude. Oh, he was in the wrong place, in the wrong space, and always going on in his mind. And that's when a particular individual by the name of Paolo made a difference. And Paolo was a janitor at the hospital and one of the few people there who spoke fluent English. And Paolo acted as the hospital's unofficial translator when he was on the job, when he was working his shift. And after a shift, Paolo did something that was quite extraordinary. He would volunteer to sit with the English-speaking patients, and he'd read to them or just keep them company. And when he learned that Ronald, a new patient, was a student, Paolo offered to go to the university and collect assignments so Ronald could continue his studies. Now, this is a pretty nice thing for Paolo to do. I mean, gee whiz, he didn't have to go out of his way to assist Ronald, but he decided he would. Now, every day, Paolo was checking in on Ronald and would encourage him, would read to him from the newspaper. He provided lots of whimsical comments about what was happening with local customs and traditions. And there was a rapport that developed between Ronald and Paolo, just a wonderful relationship developed over time. And every time Paolo spent time with Ronald, Ronald began to feel a little bit better, and he began to change his thinking. And once he was well and left the hospital, he was ready to go back to school and found himself excited about his courses, where he had had this attitude before. A few weeks later, that attitude had totally changed. Why? Because of Paolo. Ronald initiated a buddy system between local residents of hospitals and students, and also visiting students in the program. And he said, I did this because Paolo had taught me something that I found would be not just of assistance to me, but to a lot of other people. And what he found was friendship. Someone went out of their way to make sure that he knew, that Ronald knew, and not just Ronald. Ronald wasn't the only person that Paolo interacted with, but that Paolo let people know he was there to be a friend. He wasn't an enemy, and he really did sincerely care. And Paolo gained a great deal from it, because not only did he develop new friends, but he also felt a sense of his own self-worth and self-esteem, and it enabled him to share a lot about his own country and the customs of his country with the people that otherwise would have felt very uncomfortable. And I think that's something we can keep in mind, no matter where we go, no matter what we do. We can always share what we know with others, and many times it can take away discomfort so quickly. Someone can be very uneasy with what they're exposed to or what they're involved with, and this can make a difference for them. So just keep that in mind. You can do the same thing. You can be a Paolo. If you're feeling like a Ronald, as if you're all out of sorts and things just are not going well for you or coming along the way that you would like for them to, why don't you remember, if you can be a Paolo, you may make a difference in someone's life that you otherwise would never, ever have expected. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're going to be going to break in just a couple of minutes here. If you'd like to give me a buzz to chat, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Now, I want to let you know about some guests that are going to be coming up. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about Sparky. Oh, Sparky is such a delightful terrier. He is just such a wonderful dog. Sparky is a dog who was diagnosed with lymphoma. Now, lymphoma is a cancer that is a death knell for any dog that gets it. But Sparky broke the paradigm on this. He got lymphoma at the age of 6. And he's still here at the age of 12, and he's totally cured. John Clifton is his owner, and John Clifton has dedicated his life to educating other people. And so we're going to have him on the air tomorrow. And then Anna Marvalis is going to be talking to us on Friday on how to overcome workplace conflict. And this is absolutely wonderful. She has such good insight on how to resolve difficulties, whether it's with your boss, a coworker. Just so many things that you can be aware of. So be sure you tell your friends about these two guests coming up. And then next week, Well, we've got a wonderful, wonderful lineup. We're going to be talking about Magical Mac, a horse that's a healer. We're going to be talking about how to sink or swim on a new job. Baking with Splenda is also going to be a topic. And also, Do As I Say, Not As I Did by Carol Frank. Some wonderful, wonderful, insightful stories. You're not going to want to miss any of it. Donna Sebo here. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, an hour of mind power, and you're invited to participate. This is an open mic day, 877-876-5227 or 888-268-4313. And remember, if you would tell your friends, and they're listening to this program on the Internet, all they have to do is to pick up the phone, call, and when we have a guest, usually you can call in during the second half of the program, because we're on the guest with the guests in the first half. And on a most open mic day like today, you can call in at any time during the hour. Hey, would you like to save some money? Why not do it with some just simple, simple habits that can put that cash in your pocket and you can, you know, just save those extra dollars. You know, if you dislike haggling with people, lots of times when you go out and you're doing shopping, you need to know that you can negotiate sometimes on what you buy. And there are a couple of lines that you can use, because so often there will be a particular presentation and you might want to just say, can you do any better on the price, or is there a possibility of discount? And if you don't like to haggle back and forth, I know for a lot of us in the United States, that's something that we're not comfortable with. Other cultures don't have any problem with it at all because it's just part of their everyday life. But if you're one that does not like to haggle, those two lines, can you do any better on the price or is there a possibility of a discount, may open up a door for you. And you know, there's another habit. How about if you automatically pay for things that you don't use? And you need to be able to have a 30-day rule. Now, Rick Kaller is a person who has done a lot of research on this. He said, often we buy things and we don't think things through. He said, use the 30-day rule. If you don't regularly use your monthly DVD rental subscription service or your gym membership, you're paying for something you don't need. So dropping one unused service that maybe you're paying for automatically, it's just thinking about it, and it can save you hundreds a month, I know. And lots of times, if you're like me, the time goes by so quickly, and maybe you've done something and you're just on an automatic cycle with it, and it just passes by before you know. Maybe months, maybe even years go by, and you go, wait a minute, why am I still paying for this? I shouldn't be doing this. I'm not using it. And then, bingo, you realize that you have paid out a lot of money for something that you just don't need to pay out money for. Also, there's a habit, he says, you shop as a form of entertainment. And the easy way to fix that habit, to change it, make shopping into a game. And keep shopping as a form of fun by challenging yourself to see how low you can get the price by browsing, comparison shopping, searching the Internet, and negotiating. And all of these things are really important, and they're as timeless as anything could possibly be. I can remember my girlfriend's mother, when she would go shopping, when she perused through newspapers for who had the best deal at what store. But more than that, she always tried to figure out where she could buy and get the most money, most value for her money. And this she learned because she came up through the Depression. So my girlfriend's mother taught me a lot about that, and I think that that's something we just need to be aware of. But remember, sometimes you can try to get things so inexpensive that you may end up spending a lot more money, because if you're having to drive all around town as gas prices are going up, you don't want to end up spending $25 in gasoline to save $2 for something that you think you're really getting a good deal on. So just be wise. Also, a habit you spend on little luxuries that add up every day, like fancy coffee. When you look at many of the lattes, they're $3 or $4, sometimes $5 for a latte, depending on your size. Then give yourself what you call a splurge number. If you want to adjust that habit, Then each week, designate a small amount of cash for splurges, and when that money is gone, you stop splurging until the next week. Or maybe you fix your own. Maybe you figure out a way that you can have what you want, but you can perhaps fix it at home or can find a substitute in some way where you're not putting out all of those extra dollars. Also, there is a habit that I never thought I would have to change, but we did, and leaving bills in your mailbox for the postal carrier to pick up. And this is something that has been changing over the years, and I know in my neighborhood over the last few years, it's something that people are doing less and less, leaving their bills in the mailbox for the postal carrier to pick up. You need to drop them in a public mailbox. Leaving your bills in your mailbox is an open invitation to identity thieves. But more than that, lots of times people are looking for checks that they can cash. So if you're getting Social Security checks, if you're getting any kind of money, take them, have them sent to your post office box. And if you want to pay your bills, and that's great, then drop them at your post office or put them in a public mailbox. It really is important for security purposes. I know we had it in our neighborhood more than once. We've learned about people who had their mailboxes vandalized, and stuff wasn't showing up like it should have. And there were people that were coming along and were just dipping into their mailboxes and taking stuff out. Also, you need to remember to investigate fees. And this is a big one. Anymore, there are so many hidden fees that we're not aware of unless we ask about them. So you need to remember to ask for a list of fees from your phone company, your bank, credit cards, and cable services. Because lots of times you may be paying for something that you don't have to pay for. So be sure and ask for a list. Well, this is Donna Sebo. My goodness, there are so many other things I wanted to share with you. We've run out of time. Don't forget, we've got a wonderful guest, Sparky, the little dog that was cured of cancer. You're not going to want to miss it. Also, don't forget, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. It's a delight to be able to share this hour with you every day. And be sure and tell your friends, because the more, the merrier. We really enjoy having you a part of BBSRadio.com. You are going to have a fabulous day. Just know it's the best ever. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a BlogInService.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.